Remember last night in Hebrews chapter 10, where we left off. We talked about, the last thing we talked about, this is the covenant I will make with them after that time, says the Lord. I'll put my laws in their hearts and I'll write them on their minds. And then he adds, their sins and lawless acts I will remember no more. And where these have been forgiven, there is no longer any sacrifice for sin. And so we see that the old man is the old life. We've seen through this that the new man has the law written upon his heart. He's a new creation in Christ. All things have passed away. He never existed before this. His origin is not of this world, but it's of heaven. We talked about how where Jesus said in John chapter 3 to Nicodemus, the wind blows where it wills and you hear its sound, but you don't know where it comes from or where it's going. So it is with those that are born of the Spirit. Just like Jesus had told people before, where I've come from, you don't know, and where I'm going, you can't follow. Because Jesus isn't the man from Nazareth, he's the man from heaven. And when he said these things, you know, what does he mean? We don't know where he come from. Isn't he from Nazareth, whose brothers and sisters are still here with us, who we know? What does he mean, where he's going, we can't follow? What, is he going to kill himself? These are the kinds of things they said to that. But what Jesus was speaking of is what it tells us continuing in John chapter 3. The only one who's come down from heaven, gone into heaven, is the one who's come down from heaven. Jesus came from heaven and he returned to heaven. Where he come from, you don't know. You can't see it with the carnal eye. And where he's going, you can't follow. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. And so it is with everyone that's born of the Spirit. We become like Jesus. We share his origin. We share his home. We share his nature. We are tied into him because of his death and resurrection. We share in his death to this world that we may share in his life everlasting. And that new creation is a new person. Doesn't exist as far as this world is concerned. He's like Jesus, like in that order of Melchizedek, where Jesus is our high priest. We are priests in that order. We are called to be priests and kings. And we are without genealogy, without father and mother, without beginning or ending of days, by the power of an endless life. That's what we have been adopted into in Jesus. And so in understanding that, we understand what the hope is through this, but let's understand the cost. And let's understand, as Hebrews is good at pointing out, what the penalty is, what the consequences are for rejecting so great a salvation that is given so freely. Verse 19, therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love, good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day, and that's a capital D, because it's the day of the Lord, as you see the day approaching. If, and here we go, if we deliberately keep on sinning after we have received the knowledge of the truth, no sacrifice for sins is left, but only a fearful expectation of judgment and of a raging fire that will consume the enemies of God. So we see the context here, right? This isn't talking about, well, if you committed a sin, then you've lost it all. This isn't talking about if you stumble, you're forever cut off from God. It's if you continue. Let me read it as it says it. If we deliberately keep on sinning. If you choose sin, a life of sin, and a lifestyle of sin, after having received the knowledge of the faith, then what sacrifice for sins is left? Now, in order to make this clear, we have to go to two points. First, let's understand what it means to keep on sinning, okay? And I want to take you to Romans chapter 8, so we can clarify this once for all for us, so that we're not caught up in the same self-condemnation or the same false doctrine that has snared so many people who are self-condemned. We understood the grace and mercy we have, but we also need to understand what the real warning is. In Romans chapter 8, it starts off by saying, therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Jesus Christ, the law of the Spirit of life has set me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, in that it was weakened by the sinful nature. In the sinful nature, you could never please God, right? God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. And that's what you need to focus on. Jesus is the sin offering. He is what? The sacrifice for sin. And so he condemns sin in sinful man. Sin is condemned in the flesh. Right? Sin is condemned in the flesh. The whole idea is that when the body dies, the sin nature will die with it. It's condemned in the flesh. Your spirit has been released through the law of the Spirit of life. And this is why your conscience can be cleansed. Now, and this is the understanding between those two things of the reconciliation of your spirit and the redemption of your body. Your body has to die before it can be raised. Your body has to be put in the grave so that the sin nature will die with it. Then the body can be redeemed, cleaned without the sin nature. You understand? So if sin is condemned in the flesh, then the flesh must die. And this is what it means that we die with Christ, that we may live with him. Right now, we consider that body to be dead. Like in Romans 8:10, it tells us this. You, however, are not controlled by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. If anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he doesn't belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. That's the way we look at it. Our bodies are dead because of sin, and the spirit is alive because of righteousness. We reckon ourselves, as it says in Romans 6, to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ. But remember, we don't walk by what we see, we walk by faith. It is through faith that the old man is dead with Christ. And therefore, it is through faith that we live in the heavenly realms with him now. But let's look at the reality. In other words, let's look at the way things are now. I want to make two points here. Why do we not look at the way things are now? Because the way things are now are not static. You can only look at things the way they are as the way that they will continue to be. In other words, in a static way. How many of you understand that? In the kingdom of God, you can only look at things what they are finally. You cannot look at things and judge for what they will be before they get there. Remember the parable that Jesus gave about the sower and the seed. The man sowed good seed in his field, and his enemy, while he was asleep, came and sowed bad seed, weeds, tares. And the angels, the servants came to him and said, well, an enemy sowed these while you were asleep, and look how they've sprouted up. Do we go and you want us to go pull them up? He goes, no, lest you make a mistake and pull up some of the good ones with them. Judge nothing before it's time is the point. You cannot call a thing as something when it's not there yet. You can only call it that in its finality. You are in a period of flux. You are in a period of change. And that's why you were given grace. And that's why grace falls in between the time your spirit is reconciled and your body is redeemed. Your faith, your goal, is the resurrection of the dead. Your goal is your body to be in the grave, right? And your spirit to be alive with Christ in the heavenlies when you die. And that will be your faith until when? Until it actually happens. Until your body does actually die and your spirit goes to be with Jesus. Until then, what do? You continue in faith. You continue in growth. You continue sowing to the Spirit. But there can be no judgment until it is done. That's why what we have is by faith. Can everybody see that? Can everybody get a grip on that for a moment? So you reckon yourself dead to sin, that you may in turn reckon yourself alive to Christ. Every day you submit yourself to God, that every day you may walk in that grace and enter in to fellowship with Him. Every day. There was no one time where you said the pretty words and you were done. And this is the thing. You won't be fully dead until your body's buried in the grave, Rob. And you won't be fully alive until the resurrection. You see what we're getting at? Because what you have right now is faith. You're standing in faith. Nobody stands in faith for what he already has. Can everybody see this? Nobody stands in faith for what he already has. If you already have it, why are you still standing in faith to receive it? If I promise you $100 and I give you $10 now as a down payment, that's a guarantee that I'll give you the rest of it. So you can start thinking about what you're going to spend it on, even though you don't actually have it. True? But what happens if you decide that you can't trust me? What if you decide that $10 is all you're going to get? And you go your way, can you still expect a payday? Will you still even be considering counting on what you're going to buy with it? No. Your salvation's only as good as your faith. You understand? You must continue in faith to receive what is promised. As it tells us in Colossians, continue in him as you've received him. And that's faith and repentance. Just like that plant that was planted, you have time to grow, and that's called grace. You have time to grow, and when you're full grown at the harvest, will reveal what you are. That's all of us. The goal of your faith is the resurrection of the dead. That's when you'll be complete. That's when you'll be static. Right now, you're in a state of flux, and that's why Paul said, I don't even judge myself. But there's a difference between judging yourself and knowing whether or not you are choosing deliberately, in spite of the knowledge of Christ, to walk in sin. Can you see that that's why it's a lifestyle? Can y'all hear me all right? Can everybody hear me okay? So let me continue reading this. Those who live, verse 8. Those who live according to the sinful nature have their mind set on what that nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of sinful man is death. If your mind is focused on your own desires, then you're not walking in the Spirit, right? But the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. Are you controlled by the will of God? Have you submitted yourself to God? Are you continuing to submit yourself to God? The sinful mind is hostile to God. Don't be deceived. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. And so it tells you right there. So what are we talking about there? Somebody who has sinned once or stumbled? Or somebody who's learning not to sin? No, this is somebody who's deliberately chosen to live in sin. Right? Someone who's chasing their own desires instead of God. And those who chase after those desires will die. And that means to be cut off from God forever. But those who by the Spirit put to death the deeds of this body, those who are controlled by the Spirit, those who submit to God, they're going to grow in faith. Can everybody see that? How many of you can see that? Therefore, brothers, we have an obligation, but it's not to the sinful nature to live according to it. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. That's verse 12. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the Spirit of sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. Did you receive that portion of the Holy Ghost that is a down payment, an earnest, a guarantee that God will complete what he began in you if you continue in faith? Did you receive that? Does the Holy Spirit live in you through faith? That's the source of knowing his will. That's the source of your power to walk the Christian life. That is your communication and connection with God. That is your entrance into this fellowship through faith with God in Jesus Christ. This is why it is called the Spirit of Christ. So you don't have an obligation anymore to live according to sinful desires. You're free from them. That's what it means by you not having an obligation. Under the law, you were obligated to serve the flesh because you were under its curse. You were a slave to sin. Your spirit was a slave to your body's desires. But you have been set free, and he who the Son has set free is free indeed. You have a choice now where you didn't before. You have a choice to serve God, and what's more, access to the power to do so. You have the opportunity to learn and to grow in faith daily. And to come closer and closer and closer every day to that goal of salvation that's promised you. But remember, what you have now is by faith. And faith isn't what you have in your pocket. You're standing in faith to receive a promise. And the Holy Spirit you have, that portion is a guarantee that God will fulfill that promise. But you must continue in faith. You're not obligated to the old nature anymore. But though, so if you live according to the sinful nature, when you're no longer obligated to do so, therefore, brothers, we have an obligation, but it's not to the sinful nature to live according to it. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. If you live according to sinful nature without that obligation, then you've chosen it. And that brings us to what? Hebrews chapter 10, doesn't it? If we deliberately keep on sinning after we've received the knowledge of the truth, no sacrifice for sins is left. Jesus isn't going to die for you twice. If you choose willfully to live a sinful life when you're no longer obligated to do so because you have been set free, then you're choosing slavery over the price that was paid to free you. You are trampling underfoot the only Son of God. Listen to what this says. If we deliberately keep on sinning after we receive the knowledge of the truth, no sacrifice for sins is left, but only a fearful expectation of judgment and of a raging fire that will consume the enemies of God. Anyone who rejected the law of Moses died without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. How much more severely do you think a man deserves to be punished who has trampled the Son of God underfoot and who has treated as an unholy thing the blood of the covenant that sanctified him and who has insulted the Spirit of grace? Don't you think after Jesus died to free you and you've accepted the price and you become free to deliberately live under sin when you've no longer an obligation to, don't you think that's a slap in God's face? Would you even dare think that you could take that sacrifice now after you have rejected it so outright? But we're not talking about people making a mistake and repenting, are we? We're not talking about people stumbling. We're not talking about people learning to grow and to bring their passions into line and putting to death the deeds of the flesh over this period of time that you're changing. We're talking about somebody who has deliberately walked away from the truth and chosen a lifestyle of sin when he no longer has an obligation to live according to it. How many of you can see that? For we know him who has said, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, and again, the Lord will judge his people. It is a dreadful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. Remember those earlier days after you had received the light, when you stood your ground in a great contest in the face of suffering. Sometimes you were publicly exposed to insult and persecution. Other times you stood side by side with those who were treated so. You sympathized with those in prison and joyfully accepted the confiscation of your property because you knew that you yourselves had better and lasting possessions. So do not throw away your confidence. That's your faith. You hear me? Do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere. Continue. Persevere. Let me ask you, can you possibly persevere when you have no adversity? See, he wouldn't tell you to persevere if it was easy. He wouldn't tell you to persevere if you had nothing standing against you. He wouldn't tell you to persevere if there still weren't temptations that you could not succumb to. Yeah, because then there would be nothing to persevere. He tells you to persevere because in this body, you're still going to be dealing with sin and temptation and faults and all of those things. So don't throw away your faith, your confidence. God will get you through it. Persevere. Don't throw away your confidence. It'll be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. Will receive. Will receive. Not have received. Will receive. For just in a very little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. But my righteous one will live by faith. And if he shrinks back, I'll not be pleased with him. Wow. But we're not of those who shrink back and are destroyed. And believe me, those who shrink back will be destroyed. But we are those who believe and are saved. That's the truth of our gospel. See, and so get this straight. Right now, there's nobody saved. You're saved through faith. The resurrection is your salvation. The resurrection is born again. Right now, you're born again through faith. Your spirit has been reconciled, but your body has not yet been redeemed. But you've been given the grace to make that choice stick. The time of grace is between your reconciliation and redemption. This life you're given in this body. To take this body members, as corrupt as they are, and learn how to submit them to God to serve the will of God. If we say we don't have sin, we're liars. But remember, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. If what? If what? If we'll submit ourselves to Him. If we'll seek that forgiveness. If we seek the efficacy of that sacrifice and walk in it. As long as you have, remember what he said, Jesus said, a burning reed I'm not going to put out, a smoking flax, or a broken reed, a bent reed I'm not going to break. As long as you have breath in your body, there is grace. Or you wouldn't be here. But there is no excuse to any longer do as you please. You have no obligation, so you have no excuse. You understand? Well, then out of obligation to the sinful nature, you cannot say that you're a slave and have no choice. Jesus' sacrifice has given you a choice. And that's why no one will be forgiving for rejecting this sacrifice. It's a good place to stop. Questions or comments, please feel free.